The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, after the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child and to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Over the last 5 years or so, Margie and I have been working very intentionally at our home, cleaning out stuff. You know, all that stuff that accumulates just with life, the passing of life. And in that process, we came across some of the old CDs and videos that our boys used to watch as they were growing up. And we kind of looked through them. We picked out the ones we thought we'd keep, gave the rest away. But suddenly, as I was looking through there, I was kind of struck all of a sudden. I realized just how many fairy tales and children's stories that are so familiar to us have a basic theme. An evil ruler threatened by a special child who then has to be protected or else rescued by agents of good. Think with me for a minute. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Sleeping Beauty. Yeah, there's a lot of them. There's a host of them out there. Well, this sort of story was not unknown to the people that Matthew was writing his gospel for. Only to them, it was not so much a children's story or a fairy tale as it was both their history. It was a part of their religion. And Matthew taps into the Hebrew people's collective memory, you see, and story that they have been living all these hundreds of years for images. He goes way back into the Old Testament. Images of Moses and Egypt and Joseph, the coat of many colors. You know who I'm talking about. And of exile and of a mother's anguish to tell his story about the birth of Christ, the Messiah, and all the violent aftermath that took place. This story Matthew tells is both very simple and yet it is very, very rich. And the simple part, you know, you probably say it along with me, it kind of goes like this. Jesus is born. Joseph has a dream in which an angel tells him that Herod's out to kill the child, so Joseph bundles up his wife and his newborn, and he hustles them off to Egypt to hide out. And in the meantime, Herod turns out to be just as evil as expected. And because he can't discover which child born in Bethlehem is this new king, well, shoot, let's just kill them all. You know, is the attitude that he takes. So he issues the order to make sure that this is done and the right one taken care of. After a while, King Herod dies. Joseph hears of it in another dream, moves his family back, but because evil Herod's equally evil but profoundly stupid son named Archelaus is now the king, Joseph and his family kind of quickly join the witness protection program, and they move the family to the small village, small town of Nazareth, and another place. It's up north, and it's governed by somebody else. Pretty straightforward, right? Like I said, you could probably say that story along with me. But, oh, is it rich in the details. Matthew's underlying theme is that Jesus is the Messiah, and as this new Messiah, he is the new Moses, bringing a renewal of God's covenant to the people. That is both new and old at the same time, and the oldness is emphasized by the connections that Matthew draws between the story of the baby of Jesus, baby Jesus, and the story of Moses and the entire people of Israel. For example, Egypt is not only a place where the people had to escape to, but it's also a place that they went to for refuge and rescue, if you think back in the Old Testament times. Remember Joseph and the coat of many colors? And how after his brothers tried to kill him, he eventually, through a series of events, became the prime minister. And then there was a famine back in the homeland, Joseph's homeland, and his family had to move to Egypt in order to survive. And God had placed Joseph there so that things would be all ready for them. Joseph forgives his brothers for their murderous intent by saying, "You meant it for evil, but God has used this for good." Now, it was also in this same Egypt that a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph arose, who not only put the Hebrew people into slavery for over 400 years, but also planned to kill all the male Hebrew children. Moses was born about this time, remember, and was not killed, but was hidden in that little watertight basket and floated there in the Nile. You know that story. A threatened ruler with a murderous intent, a rescue, and the protection of the innocent by good and pure. And now in our lesson, Joseph bundles up Jesus and Mary, takes them to Egypt until the danger is over. And back in Jerusalem, or Bethlehem, I should say, Herod carries out that horrible plot and has the children slaughtered. And though there is no external record of this event, it is not hard for us to believe that Herod did what is recorded in Scripture. This is a man, you see, who murdered his own wife when he thought that she was going behind his back and plotting against him. Herod even went as far as when he himself was nearing death, that he gave orders that most of the leading male citizens of Jericho should be killed when he died, so that there would be great crying and mourning at his funeral. What a wicked, horrible, rotten, no good guy. In the writing of his gospel, Matthew was tying this moment of Herod's cruelty To all the many moments of loss and despair that God's people have suffered. And at the same time, Matthew reminds us that in the midst of all of this uproar, there is a marvelous truth. God is acting to save His people. God is acting to save His people. It is a theme we hear over and over again in Scripture. Today's gospel leaves us with several questions, or at least these are the questions that came to my mind as I considered, here we are on this Sunday after Christmas. The first question would be this: where does all of this leave us here on this day? This, as I say, first Sunday after Christmas. These are all very interesting facts that I shared with you today. Today was more of a teaching lesson, I guess, in terms of a sermon. But what difference does all of this really make? Well, I would submit this to you. Life is no fairy tale, nor is it a children's story that you and I live. Life is serious business. It's not solemn, but it's definitely serious. Would you not agree? And the Bible reflects this seriousness when we begin to study and read and look at it. There is both good and bad around us and in all of us. People are born. People die. Some after birth, some others as children, some as young adults, middle age, some live to an old age. And some die naturally and very well, while others, quite unexpectedly or cruelly, maybe even badly. And the good news is that God, through His grace and through His mercy towards us, has not abandoned us to some fate. That's the good news. God has not created this mess and then sort of gone, well, have a nice life. Enjoy. Make the best of it that you can. He hasn't left us to our own devices, has He? The story the Bible tells, a story that you and I hold to be very, very true in our hearts, is that God surveyed this mess that we made of God's good creation and He acted. He did something about it. To be with us and to care for us and to ultimately lead us in changing the bad fix that humanity is in. That's why we have a Savior who has come to set you and I, you and me, free from our sins. The good news for us today is that the Messiah came in the person of Jesus, the son of Mary and Joseph, and he came to begin what has been a long and an arduous and sometimes seemingly never-ending rescue operation to pull us and all of humanity back from the brink of our own annihilation. Wow. Somebody ought to say amen out there, right? Yeah. What a gift of good news. The second question is this: because our Lord Jesus has done it, are we ready to join the Messiah in this work? Amen.